Welcome to Oversharing with Overbees. I'm Joe.
And I'm Matt.
And each week you can tune in to hear us respond to your voicemails, go in depth on our lives as content creators, and hopefully leave you feeling even better than we found you.
With that being said, let's get to oversharing.
I think actually somebody commented on one of my TikToks this week. It was a clip from the podcast and it was me laughing at you. And somebody commented and said, I know that laugh. That's a laugh when you're so frustrated that if you don't laugh, you'll cry because your partner's so terrible. And I was like, thanks for finally sticking up for me. You know?
I don't like the partner so terrible part, but
the whole thing felt completely wrong to me because I was genuinely laughing at something you said, but I was like, at least this person, well, actually, I think they may have been low-key insulting me too, of like, oh, you think you have this great mask?
Oh.
But I see behind it.
Right through your poker face.
So that definitely kind of hurt my feelings. Even though I wasn't trying to put on a poker mask, I don't think. I hate that my mask I wasn't trying to put on is bad.
I like the idea of a poker mask. We're conflating two ideas of wearing a mask and a poker face.
I'm
going to start playing poker in a poker mask.
Today's already going downhill and we just got started.
Well, we're going to start at the bottom. We're going to work our way up.
We are?
I don't know.
All
that
right,
let's hear it. That was just a positive spin I was putting on us.
Okay. Yeah. I like that.
Let's hear it. Oh, no.
Before we get started, I have an ask.
Okay.
Can you tuck your bangs up into your hat? Because something I've learned since your hair's gotten long, like the thing my ick, this is my number one ick. And I'm really not an ick kind of girly. Like I just, you know, I hate when Matt's bangs like are like sticking out from under his hat. Like
these here. That's funny because that doesn't bother me nearly as much as the stuff flying off the sides.
Doesn't make any sense to me because the stuff flying out the sides to me is much more organic. It makes sense. Your bangs hanging on for dear life to your forehead.
Dribbling out the front of the hat.
Yeah. Horrible.
Yeah.
Horrible. It looks disheveled. It looks uncomfortable.
Keep going. Go in on me. Keep going.
It makes you look wrinkled. That's not that bad of a thing. That doesn't bother me that much.
But you look old. You look bad. You look gross.
All separately and all at the same time.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. No, that's my ick, though.
That's your ick.
You still have one curl hanging down, which is one curl's fine. I don't feel
as
strongly.
It's kind of tough to like really get it all.
I've been
perfectly.
A big hat girl this week.
Yeah. It means you don't have to do like half your hair.
I did my hair. 100%.
No, you did. I know you did.
Percent before I put this hat on.
You did a full head of hair and then slapped a hat on it.
Yeah, it finished the outfit. I felt like it was the accessory the outfit needed to be like golfer dad chic.
Oh, golfer dad chic. I love I love the concept.
Somebody online told me that.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, yeah, I think that is what I'm going for.
Business dad.
Yeah, business dad off the course.
Yeah,
I'm wearing New Balances.
That's a vibe.
I'm wearing a slack.
Yeah, you're wearing pleated slacks.
Yeah.
Pleats are back. That's always fun.
I like pleats.
Okay, so we're big leg people. So pleats are...
We're not big leg people. We are legs of big sizes people.
Yeah. What do you mean? What's the difference?
I feel like big leg person to me is like somebody that's really into legs.
Oh, okay. Yeah. No. It's not a like...
That's how I love received it. Like Matt's legs. Not a leg guy. He wouldn't have married me if he was a leg guy, let's be honest.
Okay.
I'm a leg girly.
It like into legs?
Yeah.
Okay, you're a big leg gal, I guess.
It's because I don't love my own. I don't hate my, like I'm very neutral, but I think that that's part of it is I really notice beautiful legs.
Yeah, and that's why you're with me.
I don't, yeah. You have great legs. What are you talking about?
Well, this is a video podcast. We're going to have to start putting my legs in. We're going to have to back this camera up.
No, they can go to our Instagram.
Oh.
They can go to our TikTok. They can see all your
legs.
Thighs.
I do wear shorter shorts than many.
Yeah. You're a short man.
Yeah. I got solid legs. I got a good pair of...
Slutty little shorty shorts.
Oh, yeah.
We love them.
Forgot about that.
We love them.
So. No, anyway, we have large legs, so pleats work for us. They give you a little extra fabric to... Move the pant leg out.
I have never found dress pants that fit me.
Yeah.
I've never really, like, I feel like there are always styles going on with a dress pant, you know? It makes sense. And I've never been able to find dress pants that fit my body until this year.
Because of pleats.
because of pleats. Well, I don't know if it's because of pleats. Abercrombie came out with a Curve Love version of their pant, their dress pant. It has pleats in it.
Sure.
And I just feel like it fits well.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know that pleats fit us the way that, like, they envision, because, again, I think they're supposed to be real loose. I don't know. Am I even making sense here?
Like, no, not at all.
Am I not using...
You're acting like they're putting pleats in it to give you extra thigh room, which to me tells me that you're wearing the wrong size pants.
Like, I have to wear a larger.
If you're right, if your pleat is pulling in that way.
No, you shouldn't be pulling the pleats.
Right. Yeah.
No, the pleats should stay pleated.
Uh-huh. So what's the benefit as a larger legged person?
They usually tend to have more fabric because they're doing the pleat, as opposed to a flat front pant that's going to shoot straight down from the waist, at least with men's pants. I'm not going to speak on women's pants a whole lot. I don't wear...
The power of the pleat. That's what this episode's going to be called. Actually, probably not, because by the time we put the episode up, we will have forgotten that I said that.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
maybe.
All right. You never know. Just chopped the whole pleats discussion out, and she's like, Matt sounds like a complete dumbass, so...
If you sound dumb, leave it in.
Just trying to dumb me down.
It's like that thing where I'm trying to tear you down in order to build myself up.
That's smart.
I don't think it's working. I don't think it's working.
Works every time.
Yeah. All I have to do is convince everybody Matt's really dumb, then they'll think I'm smart.
If I make everyone else in the world worse, I will be better.
Right. You get it.
Hey, I mean, a lot of people practice that.
Yeah. It's honestly the world's worst strategy, and I don't really understand it. I do. I feel like I did practice it at one time when I was.
It's kind of
a wee tot.
A human instinct, I think, to a degree. It's a defense mechanism.
Now I've started really leaning into the build everybody else up, and at least you're around people who are tall. You know, like.
Yeah, if you're around good people, people just by association think you're good. Is that the thought?
No.
No.
No, but I guess that also
carries.
Rising
tide raises all ships, is that?
Yeah, kind of.
Okay.
I was thinking more along the lines of, if I cheer everybody else around me on and I help them get to their goals, at least I get to be around people who are successful, even if I'm not nailing it.
Sure.
Yeah, that's like, the thing about tearing everybody around you down is then you're just stuck in a room with a bunch of sad people, and that doesn't sound very fun.
You're the least sad of all the sad people.
Right, exactly. I would rather be the least accomplished or the least intelligent person in the room surrounded by people that feel fulfilled and
got
happy.
Got it. Yeah. It's probably smart to not try to be king of the sad people.
King of the sad people?
That's a title right there.
Yours?
No, not like an actual title for a person. I meant for the episode, but...
Okay. Yeah. King of the sad people and... What did I say about pleats?
Matt's a pleats dumbass or something.
No, I did not say that.
Matt doesn't know what pleats are.
Oh, power of pleats and the king of sadness.
King of sad people.
Honestly, that kind of sounds like a fantasy book.
Yeah, it's... Well, it sounds like a kid's book.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
We could write a children's book.
We could, you know, it's really funny.
What?
All the people that, if you say you're writing a book, they're like, oh, you know what? I've always wanted to write a children's book.
Matt's just dropping that I'm writing a book on the podcast. We haven't told anybody that.
Oh, okay.
But you can. Go ahead. Fill them in.
Fill them in. I mean, it's not written yet.
Yeah. One of my goals is to write a book.
Yeah.
And I've been working on it.
Lots of people respond, well, I've always wanted to write a children's book.
Yeah.
Which is like, okay.
That's a really common response that we have learned since I started working on this, because people have been asking what I've been spending a lot of my days doing. And I'm like, oh, I've been writing. And the response through and through, I would say like way more than you would think, like 3 out of 5.
Yeah.
Like 60% of the time people respond with, oh, I want to write a children's book. And I think that's awesome. I don't have a problem with it, but I am absolutely floored by how many times I've heard people say it.
Well, it'd be like if I was like, I got this new motorcycle, and you were like, I've always wanted to get an RV. Always.
But not really. That's not true. I don't think it's that different.
Is it not? I mean, okay.
Writing a book and writing a children's book. Like,
I've always wanted to get a mountain bike. I have had my eyes on this tricycle for just years now.
Yeah.
Is that a better comparison?
Better, but it still makes more sense to me because it's something so, it's not common. So to me, it would be a lot like if, oh, I don't know. I don't know. I have no example for you. I've been trying to think of something.
You're telling people you're starting a Michelin star restaurant, and then someone's like, I have always wanted to design a flavor of chips.
You're okay.
I don't know.
Now, I'm trying. You're making it sound like a children's book. Like in every single example, you're making it sound like children's book to adult book is like Michelin star to Doritos. Like, and that's not a good comparison, I don't think.
Just in terms of like volume alone.
Yeah, but I don't think that one's easier than the other. I think they're just different.
Like a good children's book, you have to be very concise and have a good message.
Right.
But they're not the same thing at
no,
all.
No, they're not. But
a good flavor of chips is delicious, and you're going to make probably more money stuff.
I understand what you're attempting to say, but I don't think any of it's carrying.
Got it. Okay.
I was really surprised.
That sounds like how things are going for me.
I was surprised so many people responded with that they'd always thought of writing a children's book, because I have never in my life had the thought that I wanted to write a children's book.
Yeah. To me, I feel like people want to write a children's book because they think it's easier.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Even if it's not easier, I think it's less, like you have less to produce.
It's less intimidating.
Yeah.
I feel like I can't
write a few hundred pages, but I can write 12 pages.
A children's book seems way harder to me.
Why is that?
Because, like, I can easily criticize an already written children's book, but from scratch to write, it's kind of like making content.
Okay.
Like, it seems really easy once you watch somebody's finished product. Like, everyone's like, well, I could make content. I could make a TikTok.
Yeah.
And
you might be able to make one TikTok.
I always ask people, I'm like, have you tried? And then watching them try to film things, and I'm not arguing it's the hardest job in the world. I'm not arguing anything like that. But it's interesting than watching them try to do it. I think that would be me with a children's book. I think I would be flailing.
Really?
Yes. Okay. Interesting. I think that'd be really hard for me.
I feel like you could just tell one story, like one little story. And
I know, but I would get really absorbed into wanting it to say some big message, and I don't know.
Okay. Interesting.
Anyway, yeah, that's happened a lot, though.
Yeah.
Anytime I've said that I've been spending a lot of our time right now writing, it's been, well, I've always thought about writing a children's book.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's cool. I hope that a lot of people do it.
Yeah. Hey, there's a lot of children's book out there, and kids read a lot of books.
They do read a lot of books. And I feel like there's a lot of room in the children's book space for some diversity to be added and some new stories to be told.
New ideas.
Yeah.
That's true. It's always nice to see like a new one pop up.
Yeah. So anyway, why did that come up?
I don't know. Why does anything come up on the podcast? I think it's just we kind of talk for a while and
I've been purposefully not telling anybody that I'm working on a book.
Oh.
So now I feel really outed.
Oh, well, we can just cut it.
No, it's okay. It's something I'm really nervous about.
Oh.
And it's something normally with the things I say I'm going to do, I put them out there and I say them out loud in order to make it come to fruition. Mm-hmm. Not so much. I know that that's considered manifesting and how manifesting I think works.
Oh.
But it's not so much in a manifesting kind of way. It's more in a accountability.
Peer pressure way.
Maybe a little bit, but
that's how I use it.
I use it more like once I've told somebody I'm doing it, I'm like, oh, I told them I'm doing that, so I need to
finish it. It's real. They're going to expect it to see it at some point.
Well, it makes it real to me. I don't necessarily feel the pressure of them following up about it.
Okay.
It makes it more real to me as well.
Sure.
It makes it like an established goal.
Yeah.
And so I don't know. It's one of those things that I feel like so many things I've said I wanted to do, I have failed along the way and it hasn't come to fruition, or a lot of things have really long lead time processes or big investments.
Yeah.
And I'm learning that kind of moving into this end of things where we're trying to kind of figure out what businesses we'd like to proceed with and what we have to offer as people.
Sure.
Stuff takes a lot longer to come to fruition than I could have ever imagined. And I don't want to be the person that's like, oh, I'm working on something
for years. And just it dangles out.
And I know that with a book and stuff, even if I absolutely like rock what I've been working on and it goes really well, we're what, 2 years?
Oh, yeah. That's true. Yeah.
You know?
People don't realize that to have a published book, even once you've written the whole book, it's a year plus.
It's, yeah.
Until anyone gets it.
Yeah. It's a whole process.
It's wild.
I don't know much about it. I'm definitely at the very...
All this to say, don't expect a book soon, but it's something... It's
maybe
a project
don't expect a book at all. That feels stressful.
You just... It's a project you want to work on.
Yeah. So, for fun.
Yeah.
For me.
For you.
I don't know. I'm not much of a writer.
I'm your ghostwriter.
Matt's a fantastic writer. Truly. I mean, maybe a legend of his time if he actually spent time writing. You're really good.
I can write a little bit. A little bit. We'll see how much I can really write, because maybe I can only do a few good sentences and
I don't know.
I'm going to keep using the same ones over and over.
Yeah. Well, what's on your mind this week?
Oh, what is on my mind? That's a great question. I feel like I've been bouncing all over the place, but haven't gotten anywhere.
Matt and I have established something new in our relationship this week.
Oh, yeah.
I think this week.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. And I'm really liking it. It wasn't like a super thought out thing. It happened. No. I think we were kind of, were we arguing?
I'm sure.
Okay. We were arguing with each other and I don't remember about what. And we were yelling at each other in the shower. No, I'm just kidding.
I think we were.
We weren't yelling at each other. No. But we were talking and Matt kept telling me what he doesn't want me to do or
what I didn't like.
And I finally looked at him and I said, okay, but what do you like? And then he responded with something he didn't like. And I said, no, I don't want to know what you don't like or what you didn't want. I don't remember what it was.
Mm-hmm.
I want to hear from you. I want this, or I like this, or this is my idea to contribute.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was just tired of hearing about, like, putting ideas out and getting shot down.
You wanted me to move the conversation forward. But not so much.
Matt really latched on to it. Not in a bad, that sounded negative. No. I didn't mean it that way. But, like, really took to heart what I said of I didn't want to hear what he didn't want. And has now started realizing, and me too, I didn't realize how often, 95% of what Matt communicates to me... Would you say?
It's up there. It's probably close. So I don't talk anymore. I don't get to talk anymore because all I say is like, oh, I don't like that. Yeah. I'm not interested in that option.
Yeah. So
now I'm having to work on knowing what I'm thinking and feeling.
It's really good though.
No, it is good. It was like, really good because you were like, hey, I'm not interested anymore in hearing what you don't want. You're going to have to tell me what you do want or communicate something in the affirmative to like, this just doesn't work long term. So
yeah,
like I said, I don't talk anymore, but one day I will talk again and it will be positive.
It's not about it being positive at all.
No, I know it's not about positive, but like it will progress.
Yes,
the conversation.
I hear what you're saying,
because saying you don't want something is just kind of like a try again.
I'm interested to see how it progresses as we continue to utilize that thought.
Yeah.
Like, do you think that you just are not going to talk, or do you think that you're going to start voicing things you do want?
I think it really just forces me to think more about what I expect out of a situation, not just what I'm not enjoying. There's still a time and a place to say like, oh, I don't like that. But the point for was sure, definitely that if we want a conversation to go somewhere, we're going to have to both contribute ideas.
Right.
So... yeah, I don't know. I don't know what it's going to look like going forward, but it has been a good cue for me to look at what I'm communicating or not communicating.
I'm trying to think of how to word this. I don't like it when the only communication from somebody else is knocking down ideas. It's that whole conversation of trying to pick somewhere to eat.
Yeah, sure. That makes
like
sense.
Like, it goes back to that same...
Not that. Not that. Not that. Not that. But at no point, you can get five options in and somebody will be like, no, I don't really care, but not the five things you put out there.
Right.
Try again for six.
Right.
Yeah. No, that happens. I'm guilty of that.
And I definitely like grew up. I think that's really common.
No, I think that a lot of people, that's just, I think, how they operate. Not that it's constructive. It's just that it's kind of a default mode for a lot of people.
And I like there's a TikTok that's gone big where the guys, well, I don't think it was probably on Twitter first and before that on Reddit, who knows, but where you get in, you're like, guess where I'm taking you for dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're like, ooh, I'm like, no, you have to guess. And whatever they say is where they take them. And that's like the hack.
Yeah.
And I genuinely am like, that's not a bad call.
No.
Because it makes people say like what they do want.
Mm-hmm. That only, I mean, as long as it doesn't require like a reservation, it's going to be tricky.
That's true, I guess.
That's the move.
Where,
then you have to go, no, guess again.
Where have I ever...
Fast casual.
Well, I don't think that they're getting them in a, like, fancy outfit and then being like, guess where I'm taking you?
You don't know. You know what? This is where we should probably provide the critique of like, hey, maybe don't swing too high for this, you know? I don't know.
Matt always keeping us in check.
Yeah, I have to. That's the negative thinking there.
Matt's like, go ahead. Make sure the expectations stay low, buddy.
Keep that bar on the ground and you can always fall over it.
You can stumble right over it if the bar's in hell.
Yeah, yeah, you can. Yeah, if you bury it, actually just being above ground makes it possible. Life hack.
And on a scale of 1 to 10, how satisfied are you with the life that you've built with this life hack?
I mean, a solid 2.5.
Ooh, yeah. That's pretty good.
Yeah, it could always get worse.
That means you're, I was telling Matt the other night.
That's an F-.
Well, not, Matt and I have been talking about rating. Because
okay.
I don't really understand, like when you ask somebody to rate themselves,
mm-hmm.
If I say I'm a 6.5, in my mind, that says that I think I am more attractive than 65% of people.
Yeah, I think that's a great way to use that number system.
Yeah, like mm-hmm. That's how I think about it.
Yeah. Like, so a 7's really good.
Yeah, I think if I'm a 7, I think I'm more attractive than 70% of people. Mm-hmm.
So there's 30% people out there that
might edge you out. Are hotter than me, yeah.
Yeah, no, I think that's the correct way to use that. I hadn't thought of that like conceptually
mm-hmm.
before.
I thought that that's how everybody was using it.
No, I think people just go vibes.
Oh, okay.
And if like people have just positive, you know, self-thought, they're like, I'm a 9. I don't know.
Well,
I'm an 8.
But I feel like I have pretty positive self-thought.
Sure. No, you do.
Like I thought giving myself a 6.5, I was like,
you're just using a very rigid rating system. And I like it.
Okay.
I think it's a good system. I think it needs to be wider used. But and it's not a way I'd thought of it before.
Okay.
And so I like the visualization.
Yeah.
Being like.
Everything in my head's a visual.
Really? Mm-hmm. Okay.
I hear words in my head.
Uh-huh.
But I can like, you know when they tell you to visualize a horse?
Sure.
In your head. And then you have to pick from all the bubbles to see how much detail you can see on your horse.
Okay, I don't really know this.
Have you ever done that test?
No.
Okay, there's this test. It's a black stallion, I believe, if I remember correctly. And it goes from you can't visualize the black stallion at all to being like picture quality black stallion in your head.
Uh-huh.
Where do you fall?
Probably somewhere in like not very pictured.
Oh, really? What is going on in your head?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what's going on in my head. That's part of the problem.
I have like picture, like if I close my eyes, I can play a movie in my head.
No, I can't do that either.
What?
Yeah, no, I'm like, I don't have clear images very often.
Okay, I don't, for those of you that don't know, Matt does not have an inner monologue, which is not uncommon. I think that's like 60-40.
Yeah, I think it's somewhere in there. 60-40, 70-30, something like that.
People, yeah.
And it basically means that when you think, you don't process it through, I think, the auditory or the verbal part of your brain.
Yeah.
So a lot of people have an inner monologue. And what it is your thoughts process through the part of your brain that is doing words. And so there's a voice in your head that you basically communicate with, right?
Mm-hmm.
Am I understanding that correctly?
Kind of. Communicate with feels.
Well, okay, that might be, you might be verging on like thought, like voices in your head, which is different and not necessarily common.
It's like you have a narrator.
Yes.
But it's not like it's you and a narrator. The narrator are the is narrator. You. Yeah.
But it is, some people it is a separate voice from their own, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I've never thought about like, I don't.
Whose voice it is or what voice. Like,
no, the voice doesn't have.
A persona.
Yeah.
Okay. An identity.
No.
Got it. Okay. Because it is you. Anyway, I don't have that. Like, I don't process it through that part of my brain. And so it's much more. It can be like you're imagining that it's pictures, I guess, that like
that's
I'm just seeing.
That's what you told me.
Well, it's not.
But when you told me that, I didn't ask any follow up questions.
Like, how
I
clear
just,
are the pictures?
I just They're thought just... you had a silent movie.
No, like it's almost I can act out scenarios, or if I need to hear words,
now I'm
I have to like talk out loud. I can talk out loud to myself of my thoughts.
Now I'm envisioning that your head is just like really, really basic shape animation.
Like, it's like a claymation.
Yeah, but like 2D, not okay. Claymation.
Like I'm South Park.
Yeah, like South Park, but even
like
more
rudimentary.
Basic.
Like if like, Gardner made South Park.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's just shapes and stuff together. Like the way her Legos put together and she says that it's a horse. That's what's going on in your head to me.
No. I don't know. Like it's for me, I don't know. I think I'm just bypassing like all of the parts where you process anything. And your thoughts are just shot in there.
You know, I just don't believe you.
I don't know what to tell you.
I, at some level, I think that Matt just was... like raised in America and got to do the man thing where he was just so checked out for so long that he's never like used his brain muscles. That's what I think.
He's gotten to 31 years old. He hasn't had to think once.
No,
never does.
I genuinely like, I have a little bit of that belief in me and I hate
he's
that.
He's never had to be introspective.
I want to be supportive, but I genuinely,
the sad part is that's totally possible as a man.
100%.
You can just be like, oh no, I never look at myself. Yeah, I actually don't have to. It's always external.
100%.
That's not how I feel, just to be clear. But is very possible. Oh, okay.
I don't know.
Anyone watching this podcast just
I don't
saw
know.
A little shade.
No, I don't think that. I don't actually think that, but
I was going to say, I blame myself for everything.
But it's not about, that's not what I mean.
Yeah.
But if I ask you, like,
what am I thinking?
Yeah. You say you blame yourself for everything. What do you blame yourself for?
Everything. If you go everything, you can just,
what's everything?
You don't have to think about it.
Exactly. Like, that's my point is, yes, you have a negative spin on it. Like, you're not arrogant. You're not like a pompous jerk, but... Do you know what I'm saying?
Sure.
You still like you're still not doing a whole lot of
yeah.
You just took like the self-hatred like route instead of the, you know.
People don't listen to my life hacks. They're bad. I have bad life hacks. I'm trying to unlearn most of my life hacks.
I feel like you are just one of the more detached
people on earth
I've met. Yeah.
Yeah. That is
you
true.
Didn't used to be though.
Okay.
I don't think you've always been that way. And that's why it's been really interesting as we've been talking through a lot of these things. And I don't like talking sure. through the inner monologue and talking through feelings and through therapy. It's been fascinating just to see how quickly you accept a new version of yourself.
Yeah. I think part of that is really not being good at looking forward or looking backwards.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Just being like, where I am right now is where I have always been and where I will always be. And right now, like living in the moment's not difficult for me. I don't.
And it's
I
beautiful.
Like I can't do either way.
And there's something really beautiful about that.
Works great in yoga. I'll tell you that.
It works great in yoga and it works great in a lot of ways in day-to-day life. And I take a lot of lessons from you in the way that you're able to be so incredibly present.
Yeah.
But I definitely see where the cons are too, which anybody, no matter how you are, there are pros and cons. We each have gifts and we each have not so upsides.
If you only live in the present, you definitely need timers.
Well, and it's interesting because you and I are really polar opposite in that way, because I'm so stuck in the past and the future. I've had to really, really, really hone in on enjoying the present.
You kind of avoid the present, I feel
entirely. I don't feel like I'm still there. Do you feel like I still
No, you do much better. But for a long time, you were never looking at where you were. No. You were like, oh, the next thing I'm going to do is this. And then after that, I'm going to go here. And then I don't know what I'm going to do next, but it's either going to be this or this. And every time you got to the next step, it was like, okay, the next thing I'm going to do is that.
And I think I rebelled a little too hard. And in the last year or so, I've been so present focused that I haven't had a future anything.
You kind of refused to look at.
Yeah. The next steps. Well, because what I thought was going to happen is if I wasn't looking forward, that somebody around me would pick up the slack. Like,
and Gardner hasn't done a damn thing.
No, I didn't. When I said someone, I didn't mean inherently you.
But
genuinely, I think that I had this idea of, well, everybody else, their ball keeps rolling.
Yeah.
You know? So.
Yeah, it's because you keep pushing it.
Yeah. And I don't think, I genuinely didn't realize how much of that I was doing.
Well, yeah. And other people have a much higher tolerance for their ball not moving than you do.
You're like,
wait a second, the ball's not moving? What the hell are we doing here?
I'm like, this is boring.
Yeah. Whereas I'm like, sometimes the ball doesn't move. I don't know.
Matt's like, the ball's moving, everybody panic.
Slow the ball down, guys. We're using so many metaphors. I hope this makes sense to anyone who's not us. I apologize if we've gone on for 20 minutes and they're like, what in the hell is going on in their heads?
It's the worst episode of all time because it's just us riffing about who knows what.
I always have that fear that, like, if we release a clip, people are going to be like, oh, is the whole thing about that? And sometimes it's like the clip isn't related at all to the episode and they're going to listen and be like, what the hell was that?
Do you think that the majority of clips on podcasts, that the entire episode's about what the clip is about?
You're talking to the wrong guy, but I think...
You're the podcast listener.
Yeah, I know, but I think when you... I don't get that many clips.
I get all kinds of clips. I don't listen to any of the podcasts.
Yeah.
Unless they're comedy
I feel like mainly
podcasts.
The clips are jokes, a lot of times, that I get. And so... But if you get like a really funny clip... I do think you kind of imagine the whole thing as like a comedy podcast.
That makes sense.
And I don't think we're fulfilling the comedy podcast. No. Sometimes we're funny. People tell us they laugh when they listen to it.
People DM me all the time and say we're so funny. And we must be the butt of the joke on that one.
We have to be. You have to be laughing at us sometimes.
All right. Greg's Reads of the Week.
Greg's your dad.
Greg's my dad.
He reads a lot of articles.
Lots of articles.
And he sends them to us.
And he does.
So maybe you have someone in your life that sends you articles, but we don't always read them. You read quite a few of them.
I read most of them.
But on the podcast, we just take the headlines and then rate them on a scale of 1 to 5, how much anxiety they give us. Because
Correct.
He reads a lot, but he reads a lot of things that we wouldn't read.
Mm-hmm.
Mainly because sometimes they scare us.
Yes.
But here we are. Greg's Reads of the Week.
Who's surprised to hear that the first article starts with the word retirement?
I'm not surprised at all.
Retirement goal expectations versus reality. How Americans stack up. I think that's funny because he sent it to my sisters and you.
Mm-hmm.
And.
Well, we're all almost retirement age.
It gives me a little bit of anxiety.
Two out of five?
Yeah, because I feel like retirement in America is sad.
Can be, for sure.
Yeah.
Unless you have just a boatload of money.
Yeah.
But that's mostly, that's how it goes for a lot of things. I mean, we're not going to retire somewhere else unless we move. So we either need to get busy moving or get busy trying to retire in America.
Busy, yeah.
I don't really know how to compare it to other countries or why I would.
I'd say a 2 out of 5 for me.
Okay. Retirement just gives you a one point bump, I think, to begin with.
Does it get, what's your...
I think 2 out of 5 fits.
Okay.
Again, like I said, I'm not retiring somewhere else that I know of at this point, so I don't know how to compare it, and I don't know if it values for me.
These are all so... here's how much of your income you should invest is a good start.
Oh, no.
Here's how much of your income you should invest as a good start. Good start has bunny ears around it.
Quotation marks.
Bunny ears.
Are you about to find out how much you should do and how much anxiety? I don't know, four?
What? Oh, anxiety.
4 out of 5 for anxiety? I mean, let's be honest. It's nothing like one of those article titles to be like, well, I'm clearly not doing enough. Or you think you're doing enough, and it turns out you're just doing half. You have a good start. There's a lot more you can do.
It's 10%.
10%?
But the thing is,
That's a chunk.
Yeah, it's 10% is fine. But I sit and I do the math, and I'm like, I don't understand how anybody's, I don't know. Yeah. Anyway, that's why that, I'm going to give it like
start.
A good start.
That's what I'm saying. Is starting.
And that article gives me a 5 out of 5 anxiety. The headline didn't, but the article itself gave me 5 out of 5 anxiety.
So trigger warning, that article is scary, I guess.
It's, I don't know. All right. Forget going for a run. Sitting in a hot tub can bring the same health benefits, study says.
I saw that article title.
Yeah.
It gives me no anxiety. I don't believe it. But if it's true, I mean, we should buy a hot tub. Well, we've been flirting with the idea of a hot tub anyway. Not seriously, but we went to Washington and they had a hot tub. And it was nice.
We were in Oregon. We were not in Washington.
Close enough. Same difference.
Not the same difference.
Sorry, I forgot.
We weren't even close to Washington. We were in Central Oregon.
Well, that's closer than Arkansas.
You're not wrong. You know, this doesn't give me any anxiety, but I don't like articles with headlines like this because it's kind of that same thing of like a glass of wine a day is good for you. And then they take this like one, I don't have a problem with them saying that, but like a single statistic where, you know.
Yeah. Wine is as good for you as water.
Right. I'm not into headlines like that. They irritate me.
Because they're like, well, if you're looking at this one heart marker, drinking a glass of wine is as good as drinking water or better than. But then it's like, well, but if you replace all of your water with wine, you're going to have real problems with your body.
Yeah.
I have to imagine you can't replace running with hot tubbing.
Right. Well, you can replace the improved blood flow part of running with a hot tub.
But I don't think your cardiovascular capability is going up when you get in the hot tub.
The hot tub does not help your fitness level. So
that would be awesome if it did, though. They would sell hot tubs everywhere.
Yeah.
There would be nowhere you would go that didn't have a hot tub.
I really do want a hot tub. I want to redo, I want to do the patio off of our bedroom.
Yeah.
We have doors that lead to a pile of dirt right now. So the world is our oyster.
That's true. Blank canvas. I want a hot tub because I'm looking to get shredded.
Oh. You're just going to start soaking in a hot tub till you shrivel up into abs?
Yeah. Yeah. If you don't eat and you hot tub every day, you'll get fit.
Okay.
That's what I'm imagining the article says.
Last article. The 15-minute city is a climate solution if it can get past the conspiracy theories.
Oh, no. I guess that's another 4 out of 5. I'm a little confused. It might be a 5 out of 5 with conspiracy theories thrown in there, but I'm confused enough. It's only a 4 out of 5 for me.
Yeah. 3 out of 5.
Can you explain to me the 15-minute city?
A 15-minute city. I read this. I was kind of looking again to, but it's about having everything within 15 minutes. So it's an easy commute to get to everything that you need to do. And like things being very walk friendly and not needing a vehicle and things like that. And they find that people are more satisfied and happier in communities like that.
I'm sure. It's because you're not spending all of your time in a car going to your job or going to whatever you need to get to.
Correct.
It's because you get to spend your life living your life.
Correct.
What's the conspiracy theory?
I don't know. I don't remember. That's what I was trying to flip through and see.
They're plotting. Yeah.
I give that like a 2.5 out of 5 for me.
Got it.
I don't think it's extreme anxiety, but definitely a little bit. It's not a 0.
Yeah.
Dad, I want more like butterfly and flower articles, you know?
I don't know. I think these articles are good for content.
Oh, man. Okay. Good job, Dad. Really came through on your part. What's the word of the week?
Word of the week. Word of the week. Word of the week.
Word of the week.
Yeah, you sing the song.
Word of the week.
thought we were going to start going from your books, right?
We put it all together. We put around and see what's inside. I'm going to keep singing until you... No, I'm not. No, what we were going to start was a bit where I told you about the strangest chapter concept that was in one of my books that week. But then you've never brought it up again, so I let it go because it felt weird to force that as a bit when you didn't seem that interested in it.
Got it. Got it. I've got a word.
Okay.
Chimerical.
Ooh. Chimerical or miracle?
Yeah. Chimerical. Chimerical.
Miracle. Chimerical. Chimerical.
Chimerical.
Chimerical. It sounds a little like British on accent. Here, but yeah, chimerical.
Chimerical.
Okay.
You got a guess?
Absolutely not. Do you want me to throw one out there? A miracle as performed by Kylie Kadich.
Oh, wow. That would be a very specific word. No. The adjective chimerical describes something that is wildly fanciful or imaginative, like the chimerical illustrations of magical creatures in a children's book.
I honestly
it's based on like the word chimera.
I don't know the word chimera.
Oh, that's the Greek monster that has three different heads.
Okay. I thought that when you said it. But
I was
then,
like, you have to have read books that have chimeras in them.
I do, or I have. But when you said a chimera, I wasn't thinking of a noun. I thought you were saying chimera like as a verb I don't know. And adjective, so I was like, I don't know that. Mm-hmm. I do think that I will remember that well because it does make me think of Kylie and her amazing whimsical.
Her magical.
Making over of her home.
Whimsy, yeah.
Yeah.
Shouts to Kylie.
Shouts to Kylie.
Yeah.
We love you. Bad dad, mean mom.
Bad dad.
What have you messed up this week?
What haven't I messed up this week?
Honestly,
no.
Same.
We've been improving in some areas. We've been getting better with food, I feel like.
We've been doing a good job with meals and we've been doing a good job with schedule. I honestly, some weeks we're really down on ourselves. This week's, I'd like to give us kudos.
We're moving up. We haven't crushed it, but we haven't dropped the ball severely on anything.
I feel like we've been pretty good parents. They had a play date.
Yep.
They've gotten to hang out with friends. We went to the pumpkin patch. Yep. Like, we're kind of slaying the game.
The baby is getting more mobile and he is falling over more. He's getting dinged up.
But
it's age appropriate.
I feel like that's strong. I feel like he's just bonking. It's pretty normal.
Yeah. I mean, I wasn't saying anything more like severe.
He's taking some chances.
Yeah.
He's pulling up. He's doing
his gambling,
thing.
Man. He's taking risks.
It's fun.
He's not afraid. G was always afraid, kind of.
Yeah. She was very cautious.
It was just like she had a very good sense of like, I don't even want to try. I think she wasn't like super scared.
No.
She just had a very good sense of like, this is what I can do well. And I don't know so much about that. And I'm not even going to try it.
And she's still that way.
Yeah. She gets from her dad.
Like if she's going to do something, she's going to do it and do it well.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise she's not interested.
Yes. Yeah. She gets that from her dad. It's very not.
It's been really interesting as a parent watching because it's like if I accidentally talk any kind of hesitancy into her, mm-hmm. she's out.
Yeah.
Like if she doesn't feel like I'm confident in her, she's out. And so that's been really eye-opening to me of really needing to be on and being confident and supportive.
Yeah. It's been really important too to not stop her and warn her of the dangers of things. Because she seems pretty aware of most of that mm-hmm. already. She tries to be pretty careful. And if you do that, it can a lot of times stop her from participating.
100%.
So it's very much like show up, support her. If you think something's unsafe, you can kind of act in a way that helps protect against it. But it's better not to like voice it.
Well, and speak I don't it into tell existence. Her about it. It could be unsafe unless I think she's actually in imminent danger.
Yes.
That's
yeah.
Different.
If she's sticking forks in an outlet, you got to go.
We'll step in. But if it's something that we're going to just take a tumble or we could bonk, I very much let her do it. But I do ask her often, do you feel safe?
Yes.
Like
often she'll say no. The number of times we've asked her if she feels safe or if that feels like something safe to do with her body and she goes no. And then like sort of proceeds anyway. You're like, okay, you're evaluating the situation correctly. You're acting against it, but okay, we'll see where this goes.
Well, but it also takes some learning your body and learning to trust your body. For sure. Think that's a very normal toddler thing and being able to, I don't know.
No.
It's interesting.
It's all about
I find it interesting.
Yeah. But, and there's days it works and days it doesn't. And
yeah.
We just roll with it.
Voicemails. Oh, I think that was good.
I don't know.
All right.
Should we clip that? Put it in every time?
Voicemail number one.
Hi, Joe and Matt. My name is Crystalie. I'm from New York. I just wanted to say I've been following you guys for a while, and I finally came across your podcast. And I really enjoy how pure and honest you guys are about life and how hard it can be. I'm only a freshman in college, so, like, who knows where my life can go right now. But besides that, I wanted to know what you guys think is the best way to know when to help versus when to not overstep when it comes to helping loved ones after having a newborn. I know you guys have mentioned this multiple times, so I'm sorry if it's repetitive, but both my sisters, they're pregnant right now, and one of them is due this December, and the other one's due in February, and I truly just want to help them in the best way that I can, but I just don't want them to feel like I'm overbearing sometimes. So I really just want to show my love. So if you guys have any tips or things that really you wish would have been done for you, I'd appreciate it. Thanks.
Do the laundry, do the dishes.
You're a college freshman and you think of this stuff? You're way more thoughtful than I ever was at 19.
Props to you. Yeah, I mean, same, because my sisters had babies when I was that age, and I was not.
You were like, what do I do to support them?
Well, they also didn't live where I lived.
No, so. It was not, again, the very sweet of you.
So. Yeah, no, I think that's fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah, laundry and dishes and meals. Mm-hmm. And if you are in their kitchen and utilizing their kitchen to, like, make a meal, making sure that you clean and leave everything as it was.
Yeah.
Honestly, it's so much less about the baby and so much more about picking up all of the slack through other executive function and tasks that they have. My goodness.
Yeah, supporting the parents, not the child, because the parents are working to support the child. And realistically, the child's needs are very limited. Food and sleep.
Well,
are the biggest things?
I think the thing that people don't get right is, yes, having a new baby is hard, but having a new baby is hard because you're trying to have a new baby and
keep
proceed
living
with your day-to-day function.
Yeah.
So if you have a village that can step in and help your day-to-day living proceed without a hitch, so, like, have your laundry done and put away, have your meals cooked and put out for you, have your dishes done, have your house cleaned.
Mm-hmm.
It makes having a newborn way easier because you don't have to focus on all of that other stuff operating in your household, and you can put all of your heart and your mind power into your new baby.
Yeah. I think it's something, again, and as to not overstep. Because
everybody's different. Some people may want you to hold the baby so that they can do the laundry.
Yeah. Some people get, like, feel good doing the normal things. You're someone who doesn't like to do those things to begin with. And so when you have a baby, it becomes harder. And so it may be more of a communication with the people you're dealing with going, hey, I want to help you. My thought is I'm going to do this. Sometimes just communicating that stuff beforehand of going, like, but food's a huge one that almost always plays because people need to eat and a kid can get in the way of that.
But never asking what they want.
Yeah.
I know that sounds counterintuitive, but not an open-ended question. I think a really good way to go about it, if you want to make sure that they know that they can ask for something, is to say, hey, I was planning on coming over on Thursday afternoon. I can come over and be in charge of cleaning the kitchen and getting your dishwasher unloaded. I can be in charge of running a few loads of laundry and washing your sheets and remaking your bed. Or if there's a third something instead that you have front of mind, let me know and I can do that instead.
Yeah, if there's something that would be more helpful to you.
Right. But already kind of doing that mental labor of tasks so that they can just go, oh, actually having you wash our sheets and having clean sheets on the bed sounds spectacular.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's a really good point. Just have something in mind that you want to do or want to help with, and usually the best method is to make sure that that's not like, I'll come hold the baby. It's help them with making sure their house operates. And it's
not take part and hold the baby. That's great too. No,
that will happen while you're there though.
Right.
As long as it's not like they're not letting anyone hold the baby, there will be a moment where that can happen.
I agree.
Especially if you help them do all their laundry.
I agree.
So.
All right.
Again, good on you.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
Auntie.
Hey, Joe and Matt, I'm a big fan of the podcast and really like the feedback that you guys give. I know you guys do a lot of traveling with the kiddos, and that's what my question is in regards to. Next fall, our daughter will be a year and a half, and our family typically takes a trip to North Carolina. With that being said, we live in Wisconsin. We drive to North Carolina. We do one stop at about like anywhere between 9 and 11 p.m. and then sleep until like 6 or 7. So it's typically like a 24-hour road trip, like straight through, but it ends up being more like a day and a half. And I guess my question is, would you guys ever travel that far? I know you guys did like some travel when G was that age, but I think it was only like 8 hours maybe. So I guess just tips, tricks, what you guys would recommend. We're just trying to figure out if that drive is going to be feasible with an 18-month-old or if our little family is better off just flying and meeting the family in North Carolina for the beach trip. So any tips or anything like that would be appreciated. Thanks, guys.
Fly.
Yeah. Good. It's a good question, though. I mean, I think there's several logistic things that go into that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But fly.
That's a long trip.
I'm going to go into a longer answer, but fly.
Great. Yeah. Flying is where we would lean.
Especially anything past if you have a nonstop.
12 to 14 hours. Yeah. Or if you can have a single connection, that's not bad. Because who knows if wherever they're flying in North Carolina. Because, again, your airport options are usually limited if they're going to a specific place.
I was
going
to ask if she was from Minnesota because as soon as she said kiddos, I was like, oh, Minnesota.
Sounds like that sounds like people from home.
Yeah, but then it wasn't Minnesota. It was close enough. But
yeah. The detailed answer, I guess, logistically, we've had a lot more success driving at night, but that's because I think we're more inclined to drive at night. But with a drive that long, that's not going to be an option because you're going to have to stop somewhere and then your kid's going to be awake when you want to sleep.
Yeah, that would be the feedback that I'll give. Unless your kid is a really good sleeper when their schedule's disturbed, I think that's the main reason I would pick flying. Matt and I did a 12-hour road trip with G when she was about that age, but we could get it all, like, for me, I draw the line at having to stay the night somewhere and then get up and drive further.
Yeah, because that usually wherever you stay, it can go poorly. It can go really poorly having a kid in a hotel and trying to get them to sleep like in a totally new environment, totally different sounds. Like it just depends on a lot. You're rolling the dice for sure. Your rest may be very limited.
And I just feel like flying, even when it's gone super poorly, when it's done, it's done.
Yeah, the tough part of flying is your stuff.
You
have to get really small. So if you have family that does drive, that is nearby you, that can take some of your stuff, that definitely kicks it over to flying. If for they sure. can take your pack and play and a bunch of the things that you're gonna want there, try and like
with one child though, by 18 months, we weren't flying at 18 months with G because I was very pregnant when she was 18 months old. But when that age, you don't need as much anymore. They're really transitioning into toddlerhood.
True.
And so, you know,
that's like a very doable age. We always say the hardest time to fly with your kid is probably about 10 months.
I think between 10 to 14
probably.
Yeah, 10 to 14 was the hardest for us.
Yeah, because all of a sudden they are very involved and they need to be entertained and they need to be, but they can't communicate as well what they need. Younger than that, you can just kind of feed them. Yeah. Like you can just shovel food into them for as long as you travel and they're usually happy with that or they'll sleep.
At least in our experience. Yes. Again, our kids don't mind their car seats, but we stop every 3 to 4 hours.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So, not for a long time, but we get them out.
We get gas.
Yeah.
Usually for at least 4 or 5 hours, we need to get gas.
I think the main thing is that if you choose to road trip with them, be prepared mentally that it is a much longer trip than what you're used to.
Yeah.
Because for our normal, like, we did Minnesota this year, which is normally for us, what, an 11-hour drive, a 10-hour drive?
10 and a half, yeah.
Okay, and I think it took us closer to 13 hours this time when we did it, just because we had to make stops along the way for the kids.
And when you do stop,
our gas stops are longer.
Yeah, you get gas, but then you get out, and you walk through the store, and you talk, and you change diapers, and you get rid of trash, and, like, you do the whole thing, and you probably stop for food more than you would just the two of you, because a gas station snack's going to hold you over better than your kids.
Right.
Yeah. I don't feel as good feeding my kid gummy worms for dinner as I do myself. So,
Matt and I really...
Yeah, we're like...
We played it fast and loose with the road trips, just the two of us.
Yeah, the food with just the two of us. Well, and again, if we're driving at night, sometimes it's like you can't... There's nowhere to stop and get food. But, yeah... With just one, especially being under two, so they'll fly. They can be a lap seat for free, as long as you have decent flight
Although
options.
I do recommend,
if you can, yeah,
if you can get them their own seat and take your car seat onto the airplane,
yeah,
and buckle them into their car seat in their own seat. It's an easier way to travel with your car seat. It means that once you're there, if you have family that's driving, you can put the car seat into a vehicle at the beach. And it's just overall
that is the tricky part too, is getting your kid away from the airport. You always logistically either have to travel with your car seat, or you have to get a car seat when you get there.
Yeah, and renting car seats, they're just not very nice car seats typically.
But they work. So we've had fine experiences, but
I mean, you're talking entry level, like the. Most,
expect to take an extra 25 minutes figuring out how to attach them to your car.
They're typically the most base model car seats that you can get.
Yes. Yeah. But yeah, if you can have someone travel with your stuff, your strollers and whatnot, if you have stuff that way, that's usually nice. But yeah, our recommendation is fly. But
yeah, on that, I would probably leaning fly.
Past 14
and
hours.
And I always pick drive, I feel like. I pick drive more than you do.
You do.
I like to have the car to have all of our stuff.
Yeah.
I don't like to have to think about packing. So I understand that stressor, but that's just too far. It takes the enjoyment out of the trip when you are, like, on your way there, you're excited, but then you dread it during the trip that you're going to have to do it back.
Yeah, you're going to have 4 days of travel. Like, 4 full days. Because if it's a day and a half with just the two of you, I'd plan on 2 whole days used up in the travel.
Right.
And that's 4 days of travel for... hopefully it's a long trip, but...
Yeah.
Hopefully that was the answer you were looking for.
Well, it was an answer.
Yeah. I don't know.
Guys, email... Oh, do you have an email?
I'm sure we do. Hi, Joe and Matt. I'm a longtime listener and love your podcast. Oversharing Middle Ground is a part of my daily routine, and I'm listening back to old episodes, and I've been doing that all summer. You guys are really inspiring and seem like such a good people. I hope that's true. Something that I've been thinking about a lot is when Joe said that she is learning to that she is teaching G to cheer on others when it's their turn to play with something, so that she learns to be happy for others. Happiness, even if she doesn't have that thing herself. I don't know why that stuck with me, probably because I was an asshole as a kid and probably as a teenager too. That's fine. Again, age appropriate. Many of these things that were like, not so great, age appropriate. Just remember that. Like, we're supposed to learn and grow, but you don't have to do it all at once. To my question, I was wondering about your last names. I'm from Norway and you both have typical Norwegian names. Do you have ancestors from Norway, or is it just a funny coincidence? I know a lot of Norwegians emigrated to America in the early 1900s and even before, so a lot of Americans have Norwegian names. If so, I would love to hear more about this and where your family was from. Thanks for a great podcast, and sorry for the bad spelling. You did a good job. Very readable.
I'm German.
German?
I'm, like, very German.
I'm very Scandinavian Norway.
Yeah.
Yeah. My Netherlands... Netherlands too. My great grandparents, I believe, were like Dutch, from the Netherlands, spoke Dutch. So yes, yeah, I have very traditional.
Do you know from where specifically
there? No, yeah. I don't. I bet my mom would know. Okay, but
we should learn that stuff. Information we should have.
Yeah, Yeah, my genealogy is very Scandinavian, Northern European.
I'm very German. And then on my dad's side, I'm not as familiar with what I am.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I would love to do the 23andMe. Matt got to do it.
I did. People always think my complexion tends to make people believe that I have more...
people think you're Latino.
Latino, or especially being from North Dakota, Native American. I'm neither. I have a little bit of like very Eastern Europe, like Eastern Bloc countries, and I think that's the only place I get anything that resembles non-European, like Central
I guess Western you do European. Have dark complexion, dark hair, like yeah. dark hair, dark eyes. I don't know. That's interesting.
Yeah, but I'm almost completely...
You're way... Well, we'll see. I'd like to get 23andMe done so that I can see what mine says.
Yeah, I'm super, super European.
I wonder where you got your curls.
I don't know. Again, I think there's more... More in the...
Okay. One more email?
One more email. All right. Hi, I'm into a voicemail, but English isn't my first language, so sometimes my accent comes out and I don't like it. I bet it sounds awesome, though.
I bet it does.
I've sent voicemails in the past. I bet it was great. I'm from South America, but I live in North Carolina, and I have a son who's almost the same age as G, and I've followed G since. This year, we started trying for baby number two, and I had a chemical pregnancy, immediately followed by a miscarriage at 9 weeks, and now I am once again almost 10 weeks pregnant. This time, due to the past losses, I am being much more guarded and told basically nobody except some family and a handful of friends at work. I've had 3 people ask me straight up if I was pregnant, and I have failed to respond accordingly each time. I'm not showing yet, so it's basically just random people being nosy, but I just blurt out, no, I'm not, even if I actually am, but wish I could react in a better way to tell them to mind their own business without lying. I hate denying this cute kiddo's existence because I fought so hard to get him or her here, but I'm not comfortable sharing it. Any ideas on what to answer so I can have it ready for the next time? Thanks.
Ooh, that's a good question.
This was a little while ago.
I have no problems with just straight up lying.
Yeah, that's your business.
I don't know. How do you gracefully respond in a way that makes people feel like, oh, I shouldn't have asked that?
Yeah, because some people are just going to be off put by it.
I'm sure that regardless. There is something along the lines of, you know, I don't know. I have a tendency to either lie or be petty.
Yeah.
Like, that's where my brain wants to go. And that's not, I don't want to make that as a recommendation because I don't think either of those are good things.
What do you mean by lie or be petty? Give us some examples.
An example of lying would be saying, no, I'm not.
Yes. Which, again, we advocate is okay.
Yeah, I think that's fine.
That's an okay thing
Being
to do.
Petty, I'm somebody that would be like, well, I've been pregnant twice this year, but it's not. But we've also had 2 losses, and I would just straight make them uncomfortable.
Yeah, because it's not necessarily an appropriate question to ask.
No, exactly. But to me, that's petty. It's not. Yeah. It's not really constructive.
And with it being not an appropriate question to ask, it's not necessarily on you to make sure that it's okay.
No, it is not on you to make other people comfortable.
Yes. So I'd say, yeah.
But that's the road I usually like to take is of, you know, making people think. And I just genuinely don't know what.
You could just say, hey, I'm not really comfortable discussing it.
That makes it sound to me like my immediate response is that somebody then is going to be like, oh, well, she's pregnant, but she doesn't want to talk about it, you know?
Sure.
And then it's the rumor mill and then everybody's talking. And I don't like that.
You know what? I think I may just lean towards denying it. And then if you get like 10 more weeks down the road and you start to show, you go, either you can lie again and say, I didn't know at the time.
I think I would have a tendency to respond with something. Like if somebody was like, are you pregnant? I'd have been like, oh my God, are you saying I'm glowing?
You can redirect.
I think I would probably go that direction.
Try to hit it with some humor. I like that. Yeah. I like that. Interesting. You could deny it. You could either say you didn't know at the time, or you could say it's been a hard year with that, so I didn't want to put the cart before the horse kind of deal.
Or my favorite, are you? Oh my gosh. Are you pregnant? Just turn it right back around on them.
Are you projecting? That'd be super weird. Make it, like, yeah, just make,
you're 40,
this is not good advice. We're just trying to make
your middle-aged man co-worker being like, are you pregnant? And be like, oh my God, are you projecting? Are you pregnant?
Oh no.
I hate that.
Yeah.
That's hard.
I'm sorry. That sucks.
I don't have a good answer for that other than I would probably try and redirect.
Yeah.
With no answer.
I don't know. I think I'm back on board with just lying.
I know.
Just say no.
I think that that is an appropriate time to, because I don't really think that it's necessarily, I mean, I guess it is technically a lie, but
that's a HIPAA violation.
No, it's, I think of it as preparing for a surprise, not being secretive.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's tough. I hope that was good advice. I don't know that it was, but that's what we would do.
We've done better.
We've done way better.
On that note, we'll see you next week.
Yeah, we can do it again.
We'll catch you next week. Yeah. Subscribe, like, comment.
Do all the things.
I've got to stop doing that on here because the thing is, if I listened back to myself doing that, I would cringe and be mortified that that lives forever on the internet. And it does. Dozens of times.
Dozens. Truly dozens.
Oh, well. Yeah. Love you guys.
Yeah, appreciate
it. Talk soon.
I think I'm going to try and get a bunch of these up on, we do put it on YouTube, but a lot of people have asked for it on Spotify. And when we started the podcast, you couldn't just upload the video to Spotify.
So you can see us.
But you can now. So I need to put a lot of these on Spotify. So hopefully that will be there soon.
Check it out.
Bye.